And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you are listening to Guardian Talk Radio 96.9. I'm very blessed to have Mr. Stan Burnside in the studio with me tonight. We've been talking a little bit about his path to being an artist and a little bit going through Junkanoo and a bit of cake making. And then now we're going to talk about the new show, Conversations with My Father, which is on at the current art gallery at Bahamar. And I don't, how many paintings in the show? It's many paintings. It's got to be at least, what, 15 or so, if not more?
23.
So, first of all, the title.
Conversations with My Father.
Well, it's really about the continuing spirit of someone you love in your life. And how when that person passes into eternity, they pass into eternity without removing themselves from, you know,
your being, I guess.
Your being, yeah. And so, you know, one of the ways that I can communicate with that spirit is through my painting. And so when I say conversations with my father, a lot of the values that I have, a lot of the things that I see, a lot of the principles that I fight for, you know, were instilled in me by my father and my mother and other people who I look up to as father figures, mother figures, you know. So, you know, it's really a tribute to, it's a tribute to the truth. You know, my father was someone who I think was very courageous. You know, other people were afraid to stand up the way he stood up against oppression and injustice and so on and so forth. And yet he was a very gentle man who shared what he had and never looked down on any other human being. You know, I can remember growing up when he would come home after a day at the office and bring a bag of fruit and maybe some fish or a turtle. Someone from the Family Islands who needed dental care didn't have any money. And so they brought what they had.
That's lovely.
And he lived that way as a island boy, and his values were island, you know, and so
community, it sounds like.
Exactly. He really had a sense of community that I think is kind of rare nowadays.
It is. It's becoming rarer and rarer. I think when you go back to the Family Islands, that was one of the things after that trip I just did to go and look at some, salvage some artworks, was you realize on some of the smaller islands the sense of community is much stronger, and that they're really there for each other in a way that I think maybe in Nassau we've lost that sense because it's so big, right? So there's that idea of like knowing each other is so different. So is painting for you a way of really communing with the people that have passed?
Yeah, in fact, painting is how I really speak or commune with God, you know. And, you know, I get quiet enough when I paint that I can allow myself to become a vessel for some really powerful ideas. And so conversation with my father is just about that, you know, about showing or shedding a light on some of the things that are going on right now, especially... the way certain people in our society are really, really suffering and catching hell and living in squalor.
Yeah, now some of the titles were very telling. I mean, there was a few things that really stood out, but like some of the titles were amazing. There was one that was that I thought was very clever, was a shanty town, like Ashanti from Africa, but then a shanty town. And it was really seemed to be speaking to the sort of lost royalty almost of the Ashanti, and
the Ashanti is very, very rich culture, and the tragedy of the present situation. And then there was a piece that was inspired by Tavares Strawn.
Oh, yeah?
Believe it or not, that was the piece, The Cage Bird Kissed,
yes,
by the Haitian Sun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the whole idea that you could get the sun from Haiti shining in,
right,
in France,
mm-hmm,
you know, that came from that piece that Tavares did.
To where he had the sun shining in his bedroom or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, amazing.
Exactly.
I was actually wondering about that. I was trying to pick that piece apart, and I was like, how's the bird getting the Haitian sun? I'm glad you brought that up. And there were a lot of birds. What is the bird? There were at least at least four or five paintings where there's someone's holding a bird. A bird is, they obviously symbolize something to you, very important.
Well, bird for me is a metaphor for life and how life can continue to evade you, mm-hmm, you know. I mean, it's there for a second and then it's gone. It can, mm-hmm, fly away. But it's also a symbol of peace, a symbol of hope, a symbol of war. You know, a bird really represents so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't consciously use birds over and over in my paintings. You, mm-hmm, know, they just somehow...
They just appear.
Help me to... Yeah, they just appear. You know, they help me to... express what it is I'm feeling, you know.
Yeah, and also another two of the titles that came up again. So I love this title, The Visionary Princess with Matissean Hands.
Oh yeah,
you gotta see what you're looking at.
Yeah,
and there was another one that was about seeing what you're looking at. So what are you trying to tell the viewer by saying that always again and again?
Well, my dad used to say that over and over again,
mm-hmm,
and what he felt was that so many of us get distracted by things that are really not important,
mm-hmm,
when the real important things are right there. And if you hold on to the truth, you can maybe achieve something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like politicians, who shall remain. There's a particular politician internationally who shall remain nameless.
Is it the one that you met one time in a snowstorm at college? Okay.
Oh, you have a good memory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, this particular politician has a genius, and I hate to use the word genius because it's an evil genius, for creating a mess. And the moment you concentrate on that mess, he's creating another mess.
Mm-hmm.
So you can never pin him down to any one mess.
Yeah.
And that way...
And you're being distracted.
And you're being distracted. You're, mm-hmm, being distracted. So my father's saying was really how important it was to not get distracted, mm-hmm, by the small things.
Mm-hmm.
And he considered the small things in life, you know, running after money. And,
mm-hmm,
the important things are
family.
And love
family,
of your neighbor,
community.
And community.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's the word. Yeah.
Mm. There's another great title. I mean, I took pictures of all the titles. The other great one was Stealing Cubism from the Junk New Alchemy.
Yes. That started out being Picasso's monkey stealing, mm-hmm, cubism from the Junk New at Alchemy. But there's a shadow of a suggestion of Picasso's monkey sculpture,
mm-hmm,
in that particular painting. But it's just the, you know, the fact that there is so much collaboration in all of these new isms, you,
mm-hmm,
know, that cubism could come from African art,
mm-hmm,
you know, and abstract expressionism in New York City could come from jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of different, and you know, and so much of rhythm and blues comes from the church and,
mm-hmm,
and on, so that it's just a play on how cubism really didn't just start with cubism.
No, and it's funny because, you know, we have traditionally in the art world always looked at the Western canon as the sort of evolutionary, right?
Right.
And when you look at it, and you've spoken to it very eloquently, really everything behind every major movement in the Western canon actually came from an African root.
Yes.
Or came from people of color.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I think what's really interesting right now, I haven't been yet, but I'm dying to go. The MoMA in New York just rehung their permanent collection. Mm-hmm. And they did it by going through their archives and taking out all of the work that they weren't showing by women, by people of color, and reinserting them in the conversation and hanging them next to these masterpieces.
Wow.
So, you know, an important African-American painter from the 60s, say, will be hanging next to a Matisse. And I think it's gratifying to know that finally. But, you know, again, you do speak to that a lot in your work about these kind of moments of meeting between these things. So I can't wait to see that rehang. I think it'll be really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, another great title. Shake of the Snake.
Oh, yeah.
Eve and the Birth of the Twerk.
Yeah, there's no way to describe that one, right? You have to see that one.
You have to see it.
Yeah,
you have to see it. But in a way, it does speak to what we were talking about before, which is see what you're looking at, right? Because the sort of distraction, the distraction of bodies or of sexuality or of the internet or of, you know, all these things that, like, we're dealing with now seem to be taking us away from what we really should be looking at, right?
Yeah. Well, that I had fun with that painting.
I'm sure.
For obvious reasons. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
and then there was a lovely diptych. That's something else you've done. I can't remember the title for this one. I didn't think I took a picture of it. But it's about the lost... It's Lost Boy.
Survival. Living in the Shadows.
Living in the Shadows.
Yeah, that's all about living in a shanty town.
You see, again, you've got a chicken in there. There's always birds. But I've noticed that sometimes in your work you do that. Not often, but you'll do things as a diptych. You'll have two.
Yeah.
Why is that? Is that a certain topic you feel that... I remember when we had one on show at the NAGB, and it was like remembering Over the Hill.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was one that Dawn Davies bought, which was about the Twin Towers. And I can think of a few where you've done these diptychs. What?
I never thought about that. I have done a number of diptychs and triptychs.
Mm-hmm.
They just happen naturally. You know, I don't... sometimes I start out planning them that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't really think about it. You know, the beautiful thing about how I work is that I move with the spirit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Amos Ferguson used to say that too, you know. Say that all y'all who've been to school say, Jesus is my teacher. Beat that, you know. You know?
Yeah.
So he said he was, you know, just dealing on a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the rules of logic and common sense sort of go out the window when you're dealing with the spirit, you know. And
you have a lovely homage to Amos in the show, actually.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Amos and Aaron Douglas.
Yeah.
And that's the, what Jackson used to call the architecture of the picture plane, you know, just the total flatness.
Completely flat.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It's like it's very joyful.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very joyful piece.
Oh, thank you.
So why did you want to pair those two together, Amos and Aaron Johnson?
Well, they're very much alike in their approach, you know, very sort of flat, color next to color, and very, you know, clean, hard edge lines. And I just thought, you know, it would be good to show the link between Bahamian intuitive and African-American intuitive.
Mm-hmm. Because I think it's interesting how... Who was I talking to that with? I can't even remember now. Arnold Kemp. He's an artist who lives in Chicago.
Oh,
and
yes.
he was born in Boston, but he's a Kemp, and his parents were born here, and his grandparents. And we were talking about his work, and we realized, talking about his work, that the mask appeared quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I think there's some things that just come down in your DNA,
right?
You know, from Africa. So even though Aaron Johnson was African-American and Amos was, I think there's certain things, you know, that despite the distance, but despite not maybe growing up in the in the country of your ancestry, there are still these ideas and subjects that will automatically speak to you and that you want to speak about.
Oh, yeah. I think that's definitely true. I mean, you can see a link between what the contemporary artists are doing all over the Caribbean, you know, and it's almost like they're working out of the same studio, and yet they have no communication. But then the greatest art is the art that transcends all of that and reaches a point of universality that everybody feels like it's coming from their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, some of the work that Bob Marley did and that song that John Lennon wrote called Imagine. I mean, that is, and Hamilton, there's certain works that transcend everything, and they belong to every single person in the world, you know?
I haven't seen Hamilton yet. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. I mean, I know the whole thing. I perform it with my children on the weekends.
You would.
I make a great King George.
They would love it. Huh? Yeah, King George stole the show. He stole the show. Yeah. But you know, art is, as artists, you know, we strive in a firmament where we're almost like Don Quixote, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're really trying to do things that most people would consider to be crazy,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're trying to change the world. We're trying to move people in positive directions towards fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
And some people would never even make an attempt at that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's true.
You know? Yeah,
it's true. And now I think we need artists more than ever. The high school show's on right now at Central Bank, and everyone is dealing with, again, the climate crisis. And I think it is the time that artists see the world a different way. And like you said, they're trying to change the world. And I think they have actually the creativity to see the world differently.
Yeah.
And so I think now more than ever, we're going to need to listen to artists on like how to move forward.
Yeah, we have to listen to our young people too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's their world. They're going to inherit a lot of problems.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
But hopefully with creativity and vision,
yes,
they'll find the solutions.
Yeah.
Right? That's that's what I'm telling my children anyhow.
It's like
human beings tend to create a way out of whatever they got themselves into.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we have to
never lose hope.
Yep.
Exactly. But let me say before, you know, I know we're coming to the end.
Mm-hmm.
I am very, very proud of the work that you have done at NAGB. I know when I was there, you had such tremendous energy, and in all that you have done to bring NAGB to where it is.
I
must say that I'm very proud.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Coming from you, that's a great compliment.
Yeah.
But again,
I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you.
Know? Yeah,
it's gonna make me cry. Can't cry on the air. Yeah. That's mean. Anyway, well, we have come to the end of the show, so I just want to thank you for that. It's been very special to be here and to be part of building that. And again, it was a decision to move home, but the best one.
And
to be able to bring the kids up here.
Emily and Daisy.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So everyone who's listening, go see Stan's Burnside's show at the Current at Bahamar. It's really a beautiful, beautiful show.
And it's free of charge.
And it's free of charge,
yes. And you don't have to love them.
No.
You could hate them, but just see them.
Yeah, and just think, you know? Exactly. Because sometimes, actually, when you hate the art, that leads to a whole conversation.
Absolutely.
Go see them. I think you will love them, but if you don't, that's fine too.
Yeah.
And if you're not at the Current, then be at the NAGB or be at Dungalik or Pop-Up or Hillside House or any of those places supporting artists, because artists are there to create also for the audience and for the audience to come and enjoy that. And in post this new phase, it's almost like 9/11 was something for America, and I think Hurricane Dorian was something for us.
Mm.
You know, art is a sanctuary and is a way to deal with all the thoughts and emotions, and can be very helpful to process. So come on out. The NAGB is free now every single day until the end of December. And so we'd love to see you there. Please come and visit us and go see also Stan's show at The Current. And as always, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here.
Uh-huh. And it's been my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
And everyone, have a good night. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery, and you've been listening to Guardian Talk Radio 96.9. Thank you so very much for listening, and have a great night.